to the Yes to Life show. I'm Robin Daly, your regular host for the show, which is all about integrative medicine for cancer, an inclusive approach that embraces all that conventional medicine has to offer, as well as the full range of complementary therapies such as naturopathic medicine and lifestyle interventions. I met my guest for this week at the True Fields Festival. Dr. Henning Sauper works at the Arcadia Praxis Clinic in Germany, helping people with cancer through a wide range of natural or non-toxic methods. I'm speaking to Henning over Skype in Germany. Hello Henning, good to talk to you again.
Hello Robin, good to talk to you, and I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Great. So we met very briefly at Sophie True's really rather novel True Fields event, where sadly I missed your extremely popular talk. At Yes to Life, we've known about your clinic, the Arcadia Praxis Clinic, for some time, and we've got you in our online directory. But viewed from the UK, there's quite a few German clinics, and they're offering therapies that are hard or impossible to get here. And it can be hard to differentiate between them and to choose the most suitable. So why would someone with cancer from the UK want to particularly come to the Arcadia Clinic?
Well, that's a very good question. I believe that there are some reasons that I can clarify for you. What I learned from my colleagues in the UK is that they are limited in many ways to treat their patients with different kinds of therapies that are available and legally allowed in Germany, and that could be one reason. I'm thinking about therapy modalities such as hyperthermia and various different kinds, like local hyperthermia with radio wave or whole body hyperthermia with infrared light. To my knowledge, doctors in the UK are limited when it comes to complementary treatments for cancerous diseases. And that might be one reason. Another reason that I see is that we have a variety of anti-cancer remedies in an injectable form that, to my knowledge, are not available in other European countries, because German law allows physicians in my home country to use drugs on single prescriptions for individual patients that are not listed and not registered and not available in regular pharmacies. And this is the case for substances like injectable turmeric extract or injectable green tea extract, or components like DCA, dichloric acetate, which is a mitochondrial activator that is used in complementary cancer treatment, and others. And what is special about these drugs is that they are described in the medical literature. They are proven in many, many studies that are published and available on PubMed, for instance, but they are not registered in any European country as ready to use remedies that you can just order from a regular pharmacy. So you have to have a compound pharmacy that produces it on your prescription for individual patients and individual treatments. And this is something we have in Germany that I'm very happy to have in my toolbox and to be able to provide these drugs for my patients, injectable, biological, botanical, anti-cancer drugs that we can use and achieve high dosages in the blood, high blood levels in our patients, which you only achieve with the injectable form of the drug. So these were two reasons.
Yeah, that's a very big plus, that is, and something we definitely don't have here. So given that, the German environment, if you like, is much better, is much more supportive of your kind of clinic than the environment in the UK, what do you think is the speciality of the Arcadia in amongst the range of German clinics that you could choose from?
Well, I'm sure there are a number of German clinics that strive for the best possible treatment, and I don't know whether we are better or different compared to my colleagues. Everybody does its best. What we strive for is to treat the patients from all different sides in a way that we call holistic. Holistic comes from the Greek word holos, which means the whole, the totality, and we really look at our patients' medical and health and life situations from all different angles, from all different sides, in order to stimulate the self-healing power of our patient, the inherent power of overcoming the disease out of the immune system, out of the body's inherent ability to overcome a disease the way we have done it so many times before the diagnosis cancer came into our lives. And the holistic approach is my goal. So let me explain a little bit what I mean with holistic. Mm-hmm. In traditional oncology, the target is the cancer cell, and the main idea, the leading idea, is to attack the cancer with toxic weapons, with radiation, or with surgery and drugs that kill the cancer cell. In our holistic approach, this aspect of killing cancer cells is only one piece of a multifaceted program. And when we talk about killing cancer cells, we tend to use remedies and drugs that are more specific in their way of attacking cancer cells and less toxic to our immune system, to our blood cells, to the rest of our body. And I would say 80% of our focus is not on killing cancer cells, but changing the terrain, the biochemistry in the patient's body that allows cancer cells to grow, and to change it from a cancer allowing to a cancer avoiding, cancer protecting terrain, where the immune system kicks in again and attacks the tumor or raises its activity to defeat cancer cells and protect the organism. And this requires a bunch of therapeutic tools that I can tell you more about.
We're going to get to those, yes.
What we do.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, that's great. So I just want to go into a little bit more the concept of a spa clinic as you have in Germany. It's rather different from here, what we have here in the UK. It's here you'd see it more, yep, as a place where you go and get a bit of massage and maybe a sauna and some rest and relaxation. But in Germany, the concept is really established and very advanced. It's a long tradition. Would you consider the Arcadia as part of this tradition? And why do you think these German clinics have achieved an enviable record for helping where others have failed?
Well, yes. Your first question, I would definitely answer with a yes. I love the traditional approach of a German spa clinic, where you look for the rejuvenation, the vitalization of the patient with natural means, with fresh water, with healthy diet, with exercise, meditation, massage. So this has a long tradition in Germany, already many hundred years ago, in all the places that start with a Bad, like Bad Emstal or Baden-Baden, or other places where his name start with the syllable Bad, which means bath. Mm-hmm. Are places where you have a hot spring. We have a hot spring here, a natural hot spring in Bad Emstal too. So yeah, the geology of these German cities and sites that normally are located in beautiful nature brought it with them to provide healthy mineral water, warm mineral water, and that's the history of the famous German spa cities. Maybe it's Baden-Baden is one of the most famous one, where all the emperors and the Russian Tsar went already 150 years ago for rejuvenation and vitalization. And yes, we are in this flow, in this stream of German spa clinics, but we do so much more than just relaxation and using the therapeutic qualities of healthy mineral water. We have that as a healthy curative background inclusive the beautiful nature around the clinic, which is countryside style, no industry fumes, no traffic, it's silent, it's pure, serene nature around us, and the mineral bath opposite to our clinic. But what makes us special in the treatment of cancerous diseases is the combination of many tools that I'd like to describe to you in greater detail very soon, that allow us to change the biological terrain around the tumor so that the, as I said, the self-healing capacity that has been blocked and the blockade made it possible for cancer cells to grow and to form a cancerous lump. We have to turn around the field around the tumor and to change it in order to overcome the disease or achieve a more permanent stabilization of the patient's health. Because only taking away the tumor with toxic weapons or with a knife or with radiation will not change the field that has allowed the cells to grow. Mm. And this field aspect is what I believe makes us a little special.
Right, and it's a kind of natural extension of the original idea of just supportive, you know, healthy, good water and things you were describing. This is kind of pushing the boundaries a bit further and bringing in more natural supportive approaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In principle, it's naturopathic medicine, which has as an aim to revitalize the self-healing capacity of the organism. That's the keystone or the center stone of complementary naturopathic medicine, to rebuild, to restore the body's ability to heal itself. Mm-hmm. Instead of just removing the symptoms, we try to change the causes and to reestablish a powerful self-healing capacity.
Mm, yes, I understand. Okay, so as far as I can see, practically all the treatments that you're offering at the Arcadia are on the natural and the non-toxic side. You don't offer anything that would be considered a mainstream orthodox approach, as some other clinics do. Yes to Life shows all about integrative medicine, which draws on all forms of medicine and considers anything that could be helpful to a person. So do you think there is a role for combining the Arcadia's approaches with orthodox ones?
Yes, very much so. We have good contacts with radiologists in the vicinity of our clinic. I have regularly patients that I refer to radiologist clinic in the city of Kassel. And in those cases, I have understood that the tumor has reached a size where naturopathic, non-toxic methods will not give the result that we want to see. In other words, a shrinkage of the tumor or a remission of a tumor. And there are limits, to my knowledge, what naturopathic, non-toxic therapies can achieve. And this is why it is so important to find an individual solution for each and every patient, and to understand that one size fits all is definitely not the right approach. I can give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, I saw a new patient with a very large breast tumor and an open wound of the breast tumor, and I understood that this caliber of a large open ulcered breast tumor is something I cannot get into remission with the tools I have here at my clinic. But together with a radiologist, I can possibly do it. And now, 3 weeks later, we see a very good result. The wound is closing, the tumor is shrinking. And what we did was a classic example of complementary medicine. We integrated classic orthodox radiotherapy and made it more powerful with the parallel simultaneous treatment with hyperthermia and the detoxification and supplementary program that we have here with automolecular medicine, with detoxifying methods, with massages, with therapies that help the patient to go through this demanding period of 3 weeks of radiation. And the result is very good. So I'm more than open to co-work with specialists of different kinds. Radiology is one discipline that we have a very good cooperation with. Or local chemotherapy is another example for something that we use frequently. We refer patients with larger tumors to a specialist at the University in Frankfurt, who is a world expert in local chemotherapy injection. And together with hyperthermia and the detoxification program and the nutritional program that we have here, we see very good results in very many cases. So complementary is the word. I'm definitely not an alternative doctor who has as a philosophy to not use anything else but naturopathic non-toxic substances. But in those, in the cases I include toxic substances, I do it with a special protocol and in combination with therapy modalities that raise the chance of a good result and lower the side effects.
Brilliant. Okay, best of both worlds, eh?
Yep.
Okay, so now let's get on to what you actually do. So I'll start at the outset. I'll say you do so many things that we're not going to talk about them all today. We won't have time, I'm sure. But I just want to look at some of the maybe the key ones. You've already mentioned hypothermia. Now, this is something where so there's a lot of different techniques of hypothermia. So I wonder if you could just sort of cover the territory quickly and tell us about hypothermia generally, and then specifically what you do at the Arcadia.
Yeah, very well. Hyperthermia means overheating. So hyperthermia provides a controlled, wanted overheating of the areas that are affected by tumorous cells, by cancer cells. And we use microwaves, we use radio waves or infrared light to overheat a certain part of the body. Normally the parts that are affected by tumorous cells, or after a successful surgical treatment, we use hyperthermia as an adjuvant treatment comparable to adjuvant radiation. The difference is that radio wave-based hyperthermia or infrared-based hyperthermia has no significant side effects, neither short-term nor long-term. And you can use it as long and as many times as the patient has a benefit from the therapy. So one of the advantages is no side effects compared to radiation therapy, where we have to deal with a lot of side effects. Sometimes it's necessary to do radiation, but we have to be aware of the side effects that we cause with radiation. And with hyperthermia, we do not cause any side effects. So
that's important. Can I just ask one thing about that? So in the case we're using it as an adjuvant therapy, which means alongside, you're talking about whole body hypothermia in that case, is that right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's as opposed to that's what you mentioned, the local hypothermia to one area.
I can differentiate those two types a little bit.
Thank you.
Local hyperthermia is a procedure that takes 1 hour per treatment and is normally given in series up to 12, 15 treatments per series. For patients who come from other countries to our clinic, we treat them with 1 hour local hyperthermia every workday, Monday through Friday, and then a pause over the weekend, and then another row of 5 days in a sequence, one after the other, 1 hour per treatment. And there are very special devices that provide these type of radio waves, and they're on our website. There are pictures, so if somebody wants to have a look how they look like, please go to our website or watch one of the videos. There are special stretchers with arms where the antenna is mounted and hovers over the part of the body that is affected with cancer, and the radio waves go through the patient. What the patient feels during this hour of treatment is a feeling of warmth, nothing else, tickling a little bit, and a feeling of a hot water bottle. The physics behind it is quite complicated. The essence of this therapy strategy with radio wave based local hypothermia is that it causes a specific overheating of cancer cells. Cancer cells go into resonance when you irradiate them with radio waves in a frequency spectrum of around 15 megahertz, which is classical shortwave bandwidth. And healthy cells do not resonate in this frequency as much as cancer cells. And this physical difference between healthy cells and cancer cells gives us the specificity that this kind of therapy only overheats cancer cells. You can put the applicator over the entire liver, but only the spots that are affected by cancer cells get overheated, and the rest of the liver does not get overheated. The physical background of it is a law of resonance, that different objects in the physical world have different resonance frequencies. And it was a Hungarian biophysicist at the University of Budapest, Professor Zass, who found out that cancer cells go into resonance at this frequency spectrum of 13.56 megahertz, whereas healthy cells stay more or less untouched. They do not resonate in this frequency and do not get overheated. So that's why you can put the applicator over a part of the body and irradiate an entire part of the body, but only the spots that contain cancer cells attract this energy and transform it into warmth or heat that sooner or later destroys the tumorous cells. So this is in short terms what you can read in in-depth articles about the physics behind local hypothermia with radio waves. So this procedure takes 1 hour per treatment and needs to be repeated between 10 and 15 times in one series. Okay. The other type of hyperthermia is whole body hyperthermia, totally different approach. You overheat the entire body up to the level of fever range temperatures, which is between 39 and 40 degrees centigrade. The optimal temperature, following the most recent reports from immunologists, is 39.5 degrees centigrade. That is the optimal temperature for our immune system to attack and defeat cancer cells. At the annual conference of hyperthermia last year in Berlin, we were shown videos that a group of researchers made from the MD Anderson Cancer Research Center in Houston, Texas. And they show that the temperature maximum for stimulation of immunocells to attack cancer cells is 39.5, and that is fever range hyperthermia, what we do with our whole body hyperthermia devices. Again, if you want to see how these devices look like, go to our website. There are pictures and videos that show you patients that are treated with whole body hyperthermia. A whole body hyperthermia takes 3 to 4 hours, inclusive an hour where you need to rest. It's pretty hot there, yeah. It's like getting a feverish infection. But at the same time, it is something that helps your body to detoxify. It stimulates the immune system and has a lot of measurable beneficial reactions in your body, in your bloodstream. It is anti-inflammatory. It helps patients with pain syndromes. You can even use it in pain syndromes that are not cancer related. Fibromyalgia, for instance, there's a study published from a clinic close to Kassel that is specialized on rehabilitation of patients with fibromyalgia. And whole body hyperthermia gave a significant reduction of the pain syndrome of those patients with fibromyalgia already after 2 treatments. So there are many aspects of whole body hyperthermia. Once again, it's immunostimulating, it reduces pain, it helps the body to detoxify, and in combination with the infusion that we normally give parallel to a whole body hyperthermia, it enhances the effect of the infusion therapy by widening the vessels enhancing the organ perfusion with the drug that you give the patient per infusion, so you have a stronger effect of the parallel given infusional therapy as well. Mm.
And this is also true of orthodox drugs as well, isn't it? Orthodox chemotherapy,
yes,
it can help.
It's published in many articles, up to the level of Lancet Oncology. Peter Wust, who is a professor in radiology at the Charité University in Berlin, published it in 2002 in Lancet Oncology, that the combination of hyperthermia together with regular orthodox chemotherapy gives a significant enhancement of the cytotoxic effect of chemotherapy. So it's really, really strange that it is not used in more clinics and that the hyperthermia has not become a standard yet. There are a few researchers in the field of orthodox medicine, like Rolf Issels in Munich and Peter Wust in Berlin, and a few more in Germany and in other countries, Japan, United States, at Duke University, for instance, who try since decades to bring hyperthermia up to the level of standard therapies, but it's a long, complex, difficult way to go to convince the established oncology world that hyperthermia is something that everybody should do to have a better effect of chemotherapy. Mm.
It's a tragic shame because, of course, it enables you to have lower doses of chemotherapy and achieve the same effect.
Exactly. Mm. And the only answer that I can imagine why it has not become more of a standard therapy is that the lobby behind hyperthermia is too little. There is too little money involved, and there is no big profit you can expect from hyperthermia. I cannot imagine any other reason why hyperthermia has not come up at a higher level after so many years of clinical research. All the studies that have been done with hyperthermia show a significant enhancement effect. If you do hyperthermia parallel to orthodox radiation therapy, you can expect an enhancement by as much as 40%. These are published data.
Massive.
From European universities.
Mm, yeah, really important. Well, you're right. It's money at the end of the day. It always is. So look, hyperthermia is easily a radio show on its own. So I'm going to move on, right? And the next subject is also potentially another radio show as well, which is PDT or photodynamic therapy. You use that there. So again, there's various types and it's used in various ways. But can we have the sort of brief overview? Do your best to tell us about photodynamic therapy and about how you use it at the Arcadia.
Yeah. Let's first define what photodynamic therapy is for our audience. Photodynamic therapy is the combination of a light sensitive drug together with a laser beam that enhances the chemical effect of that photosensitive drug. And there are classic combinations, for instance, turmeric, which is a yellow substance, a yellow pigment from the spicy root of curcuma longa that we all know from curry. It gives the yellow color of curry powder. So turmeric is a powerful anti-cancer spice or powerful anti-cancer substance. The problem is that the uptake in our intestines are not very good. It's less than 0.1%, and it is not likely to pass through the gut wall and reach out to the tumors in the distance. That's why turmeric as an oral drug is not so super powerful as we want it to be. But we have injectable turmeric that bridges that problem and that gives us high levels of the active substance turmeric right into the patient's bloodstream from where it can reach the tumor. And to make it even stronger, we can enhance its effect by irradiating the substance with blue laser light in the very moment the substance enters the patient's body. So how does that look like? We insert a rod into the patient's vein with a Vi catheter. One side allows the turmeric to enter the bloodstream, and in the other part of that Vi catheter, we put a laser rod a few centimeters inside the patient's vein so that the turmeric liquid, the yellow liquid, gets irradiated with blue laser light in the very moment it enters the patient's body. And this combination is now what we call photodynamic therapy. We pump energy into the turmeric substance to make it chemically more active, and we choose the wavelength that physicists have found that is needed to activate the yellow substance. That's always the complementary color. In this case, it's blue. Another classic combination is the green pigment that we have in nature in form of chlorophyll. There is a pharmaceutical variation of chlorophyll called chlorine E6. It's a semi-synthetic variation of chlorophyll, where the chemists changed a few aspects of that natural molecule. They take actually algae extract to get the chlorophyll, and then they change it a little bit to make it a substance that has an affinity to go to tumor cells. And this green pigment, chlorine E6, can be enhanced if you irradiate it with red laser light. So if you pick the right wavelength, irradiate the substance either in the moment it enters the patient's bloodstream, or if you know the tumor site, you can irradiate the tumor with red laser light a few hours after the injection of chlorine E6. And this combination, again, the laser activation of the green pigment gives you the cancer-destroying effect. And it gives you another specificity because you can irradiate the tumor with red laser light after the injection of chlorine E6, and only where you irradiate the body, chlorine E6 develops its cancer-killing destructive effect, and everywhere else in the body where you do not activate the substance, where you do you not irradiate the body with the red laser light, you have no toxic effect at all. Mm. So photodynamic therapy gives you a higher specificity, which is otherwise always the weakest part of traditional chemotherapy. Why does chemotherapy not work in so many cases? The answer is because it's too little specific. It kills too many of the good cells and too few of the bad cells. Right. So photodynamic therapy looks for an improvement of this proportion between unwanted and wanted effect, and enhances the cancer-destroying effect by adding a laser wavelength to activate the substance where you want it to be active, and that's in the tumor.
So it's a very clever technique in that way, that it's completely non-toxic, essentially, except for where you shine a laser light at it. Yep. And that means that actually you can have it as many times as you want as well.
Exactly. The substance itself, chlorine E6, is untoxic. It's non-toxic. And the activation happens where you irradiate the body with the red laser light, and that's where the tumor is. So it develops its toxicity only where you irradiate it with the specific laser wavelength, and that makes it so powerful.
Okay. So there's another unusual therapy that you offer, which is magnetic field therapy. Now, anything to do with magnets has always been very controversial, but it's certainly never been said to be dangerous. But would you like to tell us what you're using magnets for?
Well, the therapy modality called pulsed electromagnetic frequency therapy, with an abbreviation PEMF, pulsed electromagnetic field therapy, is used in many medical disciplines such as orthopedic medicine, pain medicine, traumatology, diabetology, because it's proven that pulsating magnetic fields enhance the microcirculation of the tissues that you expose to those fields. And a method that enhances microcirculation can give you many, many benefits, such as better oxygen saturation, better inflammation control, anti-inflammatory effects, better wound healing, better circulation gives you more of the nutrients to that part that you that where the vessels are that you treat with the pulsed electromagnetic fields. So my first answer is I use PEMF therapy as a general vitalizer and enhancer of basic biological reactions that are blocked partly in patients with different chronic diseases. Okay. If you go into the literature of pulsed electromagnetic field therapy, you find thousands of articles. If you go to PubMed, for instance, and look for PEMF treatments and studies around PEMF, you will find many thousand studies that show you that these devices improve the blood flow and the microcirculation, and there are many, many consequences of an improvement of microcirculation. So I do not say that PEMF is an anti-cancer treatment, but I say that PEMF treatment gives us a better circulation, better oxygen saturation, better ability to get the nutrients into the parts of our body that otherwise don't get enough nutrients. It enhances detoxification. That's the other way around. Yeah, we want to add the nutrients in the periphery of our body, but we also want the metabolic waste products to come back into our detoxification organs, and eventually we need to excrete the leftovers and the waste products. And PEMF treatment enhances this blood flow and the transport of both nutrients and toxins back to the detoxification organs. So it's in its principle, it's an enhancement of basic healthy reactions in our body that can contribute significantly to a better outcome of all the therapies we use. So it's very little specific, it's very general. Again, it's an enhancement of blood flow and microcirculation, and there are a lot of beneficial effects of an enhanced microcirculation.
Makes sense, a great supportive therapy. Okay, so look, you've mentioned infusion several times, and you certainly use these a lot, it sounds like, and many different kinds as well, so I don't think we're going to be able to go into them all, but I'd like to talk about some of them. You've already mentioned turmeric, that you're actually giving infusions of turmeric. This is unusual. I mean, it's mostly seen as a supplement, but as you point out,
right,
you don't get very much in your system. So, maybe you want to say a bit more about the effects of having intravenous turmeric curcumin.
Yeah, it's mainly anti-inflammatory. And the importance of anti-inflammatory treatments in the treatment of cancerous diseases becomes more and more obvious every year. Every year we get more scientific support for the understanding that cancer is a malignant inflammation or intimately connected to low-level inflammation in the tissues where cancer cells dwell and grow. So treating cancer should always be connected with anti-inflammatory strategies. And this is published in mainstream magazines like Nature and Science. Cancer causes a chronic low-level inflammation. Cancer cells mislead the immune system by causing a unwanted glooming low-level inflammation that prevents a effective attack of the tumor from the natural killer cells and the lymphocytes. So tumorous lumps hide behind the curtain of low-level inflammation, and low-level inflammation shields the tumor from effective immuno-attack. So these words may describe the scenario and may help us to understand that we need to get rid of the low-level inflammation, which, by the way, is the motor for most modern chronic diseases. Today we understand that low-level inflammation is not only one of the main reasons for cancer, it is also one of the main reasons for diabetes, for obesity, for high blood pressure, for depression, for schizophrenia, for Alzheimer's disease. Tell me one disease that modern world societies fight against that is not connected to low-level inflammation. So low-level inflammation is a really bad thing that we need to change. And turmeric is an excellent drug that has a powerful anti-inflammatory effect. It changes a molecular key that is called NF-kappa-B. It's a control molecule in the complex pathways of inflammatory biochemistry. And by changing the activity of this NF-kappa-B protein, turmeric turns chronic low-level inflammation back to better inflammation control and eventually no inflammation. And that is why turmeric is such a potent anti-cancer molecule. Again, one of the biggest drawbacks around turmeric is its low bioavailability. If you ingest a tablespoon of turmeric powder, the amount of measurable turmeric extract in your blood after a couple of hours is almost zero. It's like 0.00% of what you eat. So that's the drawback. It's an excellent drug, but the challenge is to get it in a high enough concentration into your tumor, and that's why we inject it. Okay. And it took a long time for me to find an injectable turmeric drug, and there is a compound pharmacy in Germany who has a patent on injectable turmeric, and the pharmacist there needs a prescription of a medical doctor in order to sell it. He cannot sell it on the market. German law allows him to produce this injectable turmeric if he has a prescription from a medical doctor. Right. But that's doable. It's not a problem. I write a prescription, and every time I write a prescription, I get injectable turmeric. So it's something you cannot buy in a regular pharmacy, but you can order it from this compound pharmacy.
Well, that's great. It's an interesting thing to note that also, you've underlined the whole area of inflammation, how it underpins all of our chronic diseases these days. But also, yeah. Of course, yeah. Orthodox therapies are pro-inflammatory and giving us a further problem in that way that we need to deal with. So there's a huge role for natural anti-inflammatories, really.
Right. And we know more anti-inflammatory compounds such as proteolytic enzymes from papaya or bromelain from pineapple or pancreatic enzymes. They are anti-inflammatory, and that's why they belong into a holistic program for cancer patients. Proteolytic enzymes rank very, very high on my recommendation list. Or omega-3 fatty acids from flaxseed or fish oil are anti-cancer because they are anti-inflammatory.
Right. Okay, so look, another thing that you're infusing there in Germany is amygdalin or lateral. Now, it's got an enormous history of anybody who knows about these things of its use and also its complete ridicule and being attacked. But in the UK, at the end of all that, it's not even a licensed medicine. So you can buy it. It's not illegal. You can buy it and you can use it, but a doctor can't actually administer it. So it's interesting to see that you're using it at Arcadia. So why have you chosen to use amygdalin?
Well, amygdalin is a difficult topic. Thank you for bringing it up. It entered my life some 10 years ago when I read the articles about Dr. Krebs in the United States and the studies he did in the 70s and 80s and how he was urged to stop the treatments and he moved to Mexico and all the story about Laetril, which was his name for amygdalin. He also called it vitamin B17 because he believed that it was the anti-cancer vitamin. In other words, if you have access to this extract from apricot kernels, you cannot get cancer because he compared it with ascorbic acid and scorbies and believed that he had found the anti-cancer vitamin. Right. But today I have to say that these stories are only partly true or his belief that he found the anti-cancer vitamin sorry, it's not true. It's not the anti-cancer vitamin. I would love to have a anti-cancer vitamin in my cupboard and cure all my patients with it. But the reality is that amygdalin is just another botanical, natural anti-cancer substance with some cancer-killing effect. And my experience of the last years was that even high dosages of amygdalin are not as powerful and not as successful as I expected it when I started with it and when I had read the articles about Dr. Krebs and Leotril and amygdalin. So today I have to say that amygdalin is just one more botanical molecule that we can use to kill cancer cells in a way that is harmless for the rest of the body. The mechanism is well known. It's a molecule that contains a cyanide part. On if you look at the amygdalin molecule, there is one end that contains cyanide, and this cyanide gets released in tumor cells and intoxicates the tumor cells. There's an enzyme in tumor cells, the beta-glucosidase, that breaks off this part of the molecule, the cyanide, and that becomes toxic, and there's less of this enzyme in healthy cells. That's in very, very short words why it has a specific anti-cancer toxicity. But the problem is that it is not powerful enough to really turn around the situations in advanced cancer, stage 3, stage 4. And today it does not play the biggest role at Arcadia Clinic. We have it. We can use it. It's legal in Germany. We have a pharmacy that produces it on my prescriptions, but it's not my favorite drug any longer because I did not see effects in the same range as vitamin C or Artemisia, Chinese wormwood. Today, Chinese wormwood and high dosage vitamin C in an intravenous injection or infusion are my favorites. And amygdalin has come a little in the background and is used in situations where the other drugs failed or patients ask me to get the treatments with amygdalin because they are convinced that this will help you. And I can say yes to these wishes of my patients because I know it's non-toxic. I've never seen significant side effects. And I tell my patients it's not the most powerful anti-cancer drug. Yes, I have seen good reactions. I've seen responses. But Artemisia extract, Chinese wormwood, or vitamin C high dosage is my favorite choice.
Okay. Well, that's put it in perspective. And you've mentioned there, yeah, well, high-dose vitamin C is well-known now and quite well-evidenced for it's the effect stronger. It can have.
I looked at studies that were done at Sloan Kettering Memorial Hospital in New York with amygdalin in the 70s, and they treated mice with cancer, artificially induced cancer, which they injected into their abdomen, and then the laboratory mice were treated with amygdalin. But the dosages they used and the length of the therapy was quite long and quite powerful, very, very high dosages, and the duration of the therapy was 6 weeks. And that is very difficult to do in reality, to get a patient to accept that this therapy needs 6 weeks. Please come to my clinic 6 weeks in a row and you need an injection every day with a super high dosage of amygdalin. This is just it's not feasible for most patients, and I see better results in shorter time with artemisinin from Chinese wormwood or with high dosage vitamin C or the combination of it. You can combine it and they have a powerful synergy effect if you combine artemisinin and vitamin C.
Okay, well, look, I would love to talk about that some more and to talk about ozone and DCA and, all the other things that you do, but I think we're coming towards the
end. And all the other things. Yeah. Don't forget green tea extract. We have injectable catechins from green tea. Epigallocatechin gallate, EPCG, is the star amongst the catechins in green tea, the powerful anti-cancer component. And in one word, it's an anti-vessel growth factor, a so-called angiogenesis inhibitor. It inhibits, it blocks the production of new vessels around tumors. And again, in oral forms, as green tea, as a beverage, or in capsule forms, it has some effect that is shown and proven and published, but not as powerful as you need it when you suffer from manifest cancer. And the amount of epigallocatechin gallate in one injection is what you have in 5,000 cups of green tea if you would drink it. And so, still it is not toxic. Right. No toxicity, no side effects. Mm. But you need these high concentrations of botanical anti-cancer molecules if you want to have a chance to treat measurable manifest cancer. Green tea is a good beverage to prevent cancer, but too weak to treat manifest cancer. You have to inject the concentrate.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you. This has been a whistle-stop tour, and we haven't even been anywhere near the spiritual, emotional, mental side of things, which I believe you also support.
Yes, that's one of my favorites.
That's another program.
You take a second session to talk more about the stress and mental aspect of chronic diseases and cancer. It's a very, very important one.
So important. But look, I just want to squeeze in before we finish the show. I just want to hear a bit about the practicalities of consulting at your clinic as a UK resident. Firstly, the travel. This can be a very important element. Some people are very unwell, and so travel is difficult for them. So what's the like for ease of access getting from the UK to you?
Well, patients from the UK are welcome to book a flight into Frankfurt Airport. And from there, we take over. We have a shuttle taxi that picks up our patients at Frankfurt Airport and brings them to our clinic. That's a 1.5 hours taxi ride. So we take care of the transport and everything from bringing the patient to our clinic to bring him or her back to Frankfurt Airport. And once you are here at the clinic, everything is prepared. It's like a convenient patient hotel and a doctor's practice that provides you with the therapies from Monday morning to Friday evening. There is a doctor on call over the weekend, but there are no infusions or hypothermia treatments over the weekend. And that's about it. I want to mention that patients who are interested in coming to our clinic need to be in a fairly good general condition. We're not a large hospital with 24 hours, 7 days a week care. We cannot take care of patients who are bedridden or who need a caretaker 24 hours. In this case, we're not the right place. Larger clinics have more facilities and personnel to take care of patients in this very advanced stage of cancer. So patients who come to us need to be in a general condition that allows them to move as a hotel guest, to climb stairs, and to be easy with the traveling and be picked up with a taxi cab back and forth to the clinic.
Okay, that's all very important. And how important do you think it is that somebody actually comes to you before starting a course of treatment, that you see them, that they see the clinic? Do you put a lot of weight on this?
Not so much. I'm used to all kinds of situations and try to find an individual solution for every patient. We have more than 500 different types of cancer in all kinds of stages, in all kinds of grades with more or less aggressive cells. And the only way that makes sense to me is to sit down with the patient and design individually tailored treatment protocol where we include orthodox therapies, surgical interventions, radiotherapy, chemo injection, all kinds of therapies. The aim is to find the best possible treatment for this individual patient that is available on our planet with all the tools that are available. And the patient is my boss, and I try to be the best servant and give my knowledge to the patient. And I always let the patient decide after I explain the different possibilities and options, because I cannot tell the patient what she or he has to do. I can only show ways and compare methods and share my knowledge and what I've seen and learned as a medical doctor in the last 25 years. And together with the patient, I make a treatment protocol, which is a flexible one. Designing a protocol does not mean that we stay with this protocol for the rest of our life. It is what we decide is the best today, and our plans may change in 6 months depending on the result we see. All stages, all constellations are welcome. I regard myself as a guide in this jungle of many, many possibilities on both sides, in the orthodox field, in the naturopathic complementary field, and I strive for a therapy plan that incorporates the best tools from all sides.
Well, that sounds brilliant, and I wish that more of our oncologists spoke about the way they work in the way you just have. So I have to end it there. Many thanks for telling us all about your work at Arcadia, Henning. Your time to help to inform our listeners is really appreciated. We packed in a lot. We could have spoken for maybe another 2 or 3 hours, I think. So anyway, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you, Robin, for this talk. It was a pleasure, and thank you for the great work you do for the people who look for orientation and treatment possibilities in times where life is not easy.
All right. Thank you. They have so much on offer at clinics like Arcadia that it's simply impossible to do more than hit the main points within a single show. But I hope you've gained some idea of the range of therapies on offer and the thinking behind them. A quick reminder that the Yes to Life 10K race is on the 24th of September in Victoria Park, London. Find out more or enter at yestolife10k.org. That's yestolife10k.org. Next week, I shall be speaking to the amazing Sophie True, organiser of the novel and thoroughly successful festival True Fields. I hope you'll join me again. Goodbye.